This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
We're now going to spend a few minutes with Avery Johnson, who did win a championship as a player with the San Antonio Spurs, to go on to coach in the NBA with the Mavericks and Nets, and did just come off a run with Alabama as their head basketball coach. And he's kind enough to give us a few minutes on CBS Sports Radio. Coach, thanks for the time. How are you and your family holding up?
Well, thank you. We're holding up okay. Nothing really to complain about. We just feel bad for all of these Americans that have lost their lives because of this virus, but hoping that, praying that the people that contracted it and still fighting and hanging in there, that they'll be okay. But here in Dallas, we're doing fine.
You couldn't have said it any better. I know it's tough to think this way, but if you were still playing or if you were still coaching, how strong would the desire be to return to get on the basketball court as a player or a coach from those two perspectives?
Well, the desire would be really strong. And I think the level of the desire probably is going to be dictated a little bit on where your team is. If I'm the Golden State Warriors, my desire would be to come back and entertain our fans for the love of the game, knowing very well that we're not going to the playoffs. And if that's going to be for 10 games and we could provide some sort of comfort for our fans that have been so supportive, especially during their championship run, or if you're the New York Knicks, same thing, you're not going to the playoffs. But if you could be a sense of hope and entertainment for a community that has been ravaged by this virus, yeah, I want to come back for the love of it. But if I'm the Los Angeles Lakers and the Clippers, the Toronto Raptors, not just only for the love of the game, but because we have a realistic chance to win the championship. And that would mean a lot to so many people to have an opportunity to put closure on the season.
I know there was growing optimism last week, and that's continuing, that the NBA will be able to return this year. If you were one of those players like a LeBron or a Giannis or a Kawhi, how anxious would you be? Obviously, everyone's health and safety comes first, but you got a chance to win a championship. You probably have to be pretty nervous with the unknown and the day-to-day operations and all the speculation on if the season's coming back or not.
Yeah, I think the anxiousness would be at a high level, but I think it would even exceed even more if the players could really get comfortable with testing, contact tracing, and I think if they can get tested regularly so they can figure out, you know, who's healthy, or if somebody contracted, then they can remove them from the team and get them isolated from the team, and you can continue to play and there won't be any real disruption, especially in an NBA Finals situation or the playoffs. I think once that information comes out and players could get really comfortable with that, I think the anxiousness and their level of wanting to get back on the floor will rise even higher.
Avery Johnson here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. What do you think happens? You know, I've been talking about how I don't believe the NBA regular season is going to come back and they're going to go right to the postseason. Is that what you feel happens, or do you think something else goes down?
No, I'm with you on that. I don't think you know, trying to get 30 teams back playing again, maybe at two different sites or one site with the reports that I'm hearing, I don't think that's feasible. And I think also because a lot of the teams are in different situations in terms of, you know, their states and cities are being affected by this COVID-19. There are so many different levels in terms of the availability of all of the different arenas. I'm not quite sure, you know, if that's going to, how that's all going to work in terms of returning the play. But I definitely think it's only the playoff teams. And I think it's going to be about a 6-week run where they'll be able to complete the playoffs and also, you know, compete for a championship so that you won't push the start of next season back too far.
Avery Johnson here with us. When we look back at some things that did happen with the season that we did see so far, let me ask you about one of your former teams in the Mavericks with Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis. How about the direction of that franchise as Luka made a big statement in year number one, but even a bigger statement in year number two?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing what he's turned out to be. You know, to see this kid come from, you know, Europe and turn out to just be such a magnificent player, his size, his ball handling ability, his IQ. It's amazing, and having an opportunity to live here in Dallas and watch a lot of their games and follow them, I think this is a team that maybe is probably not a championship team this year, but, boy, they have a heck of a, you know, 3 to 5 year window with Luka being healthy, Porzingis, you know, they have shooting with Hardaway, they have some size, you know, Jalen Brunson coming off the bench, handling the ball, providing some point guard depth. They, you know, they'll have another first round draft pick this year. So this team can be very dangerous, quite dangerous in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years. And again, Mark Cuban as owner, Rick Carlisle, head coach, Donnie Nelson, and Keith Grant, you know, general manager and assistant general manager, they have really good organizational structure.
How would you describe working for Mark Cuban?
It was an amazing ride. I learned so much from Mark. We're still friends today. And a lot of people say, well, how can you be friends with an owner that fires you? Well, that's only looking at one side. I'm looking at the other side, that he was the guy that hired me and really introduced Avery Johnson to the coaching world. And we won a lot of games together. We had some tough moments. When you lose in the finals, it's tough. You lose in the first round, it's tough. But the other side of that is, you know, we got to the finals for the first time at that point in the Mavericks' 25-year history back in 2006. And I would have never been coach of the year had Mark Cuban not taken a chance on me and all of the wonderful people that I had an opportunity to work with, led by Dirk Nowitzki, who was MVP and just an incredible man, and all of the future coaches. You know, Jason Terry now is coaching, and Jerry Stackhouse is a head coach at Vanderbilt. Josh Howard just got a coaching job at a smaller college here in Dallas. So all of those relationships, and to see how those guys have gone in the coaching, and it's all about relationships. So I'm really thankful I had a chance to work with Mark, and he was the guy that introduced me to analytics. He was the guy that first to the table in terms of analytics and utilizing it as a tool for basketball.
Avery Johnson here with us on the Zach Yelp Show. You mentioned Dirk, and we know this is now a new era of Mavericks basketball. You being able to coach Dirk for all those years, what's your biggest takeaway from being able to coach Dirk Nowitzki? Give me a good story or two.
Dirk Nowitzki is arguably the hardest player that I've ever – he is the hardest player I've ever coached, the hardest worker. I've stayed with Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan had unbelievable work ethic. But when you look at Dirk Nowitzki, I've never seen a guy have a practice after a practice. His practices, no matter how hard our practices were, his practice was even harder than our own practice. His own personal shoot-around after our shoot-arounds were even more difficult than our shoot-around. And invest that so much time in his game and to see the byproduct and the rewards of him being such an incredible player. When people say it's all about practice making yourself perfect and perfect practice makes you perfect, he's a great example of that.
Avery Johnson is my guest for a few more minutes on CBS Sports Radio. I know you lived through The Last Dance as a player. After watching those 10 episodes, what was your takeaway? What were your impressions?
So many takeaways from The Last Dance, and I really don't know where to start. A couple of things I would say is, you know, I had a chance to play with Steve Kerr on that championship 99 team, and fortunately broke up the Bulls because who knows if I would have ever had an opportunity to be Steve's teammate on our 99 team. I played with Dennis Rodman before he was traded to the Bulls in 95. You know, we were 62-20 and lost to the Rockets in the Western Conference Finals. So some of my biggest takeaways is, you know, Michael's relationship with the security guards. That was pretty funny to see how those guys were, you know, plucking coins and, you know, and Michael was having all these type of games with them before and after games. I would say Scottie Pippen, just how really good Scottie Pippen was and how he helped elevate Michael and the team to another level. I don't think he still gets enough credit. Phil Jackson, you know, his leadership and management of all those personalities, especially a guy like Dennis Rodman and, you know, Dennis Rodman going to participate in a wrestling match during the finals and just the parade of media that followed the team and followed Michael. And so just all of Phil's leadership and management skills, I don't think anybody could have done it just because you had Michael Jordan. It took a special coach to really have the right type of culture to sustain that type of success.
We thought it was the flu game for all these years. Now we find out that it was the food poisoning game because of a bad pizza, which I think there's some holes in that story. Does Avery Johnson believe that it was food poisoning, or do you think it was something else?
Oh, I think it was food poisoning. I definitely think something was in that pizza. That was another takeaway. And also the Dream Team.
Yeah.
The way, you know, those guys, that team was an amazing team. And to hear some of the behind the scenes of it, my former teammate, David Robinson, obviously, mm-hmm. just to see all of the different superstars on that team and how they talk about each other and talk about Michael and the way Larry Bird, his profanity-laced tirade to Michael after the game when they hugged in the hallway was pretty cute. But just so many different takeaways from The Last Dance. It was perfect timing in terms of when that was released for the viewing public so we can have five straight weeks of that type of entertainment.
You win that championship in 99, the first Larry O'Brien trophy handed out since the second three-peat of Michael Jordan where that Bulls team breaks up in 98. If you had the Bulls come back and that core did stay together and Phil stayed and Pippen stayed and, you know, even Steve Kerr was on that Spurs team, if he stays with the Chicago Bulls, what do you think your Spurs team would have done in a series going up against that Chicago Bulls team, which was a shortened season because of the lockout?
Well, I hope that we can still trade for Steve Kerr. At least touch, because I used to always pick his brain, the Bulls team, and what did they do in this situation? How did they respond? So Steve, even though I played most of the minutes, he was one of our really, really secret weapons in terms of him teaching us about a championship culture. So I'm going to assume still Steve plays with us. And even though Michael's incredible, unbelievable, the Bulls just wasn't going to have an answer for Tim Duncan and David Robinson. I know Dennis was a good defender, but Dennis wouldn't have been able to slow down Tim Duncan, and nobody on their roster could guard David. Mario Elliott and Sean Elliott were incredible defenders. Just to make it tough on Michael, we had multiple guys that we could throw at him. And so I just think it would have been a tough series. So I'm picking the Spurs in seven.
So you go Spurs in seven. That would be some game seven. That would be awesome seeing that Spurs team up against that Bulls team. If that core is able to stay intact and you get a seven-game series of that, I would sign up for that one in a second, Avery Johnson.
Yeah. You know, the Bulls didn't have that many game sevens. They had one against Reggie Miller and the Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals. But we were an unbelievable defensive team. Obviously, the game was played back in the low 90s, high 80s, some games. That was our tempo. We made it tough. Obviously, when we beat the Knicks in the finals with Allen, Houston, and Sprewell, you know, no, those guys aren't Jordan, but those guys were a heck of a wing players and that we had to slow down and contain. And we had some really good defenders. We had a lot of rim protection with David and Tim at the rim. We had a young guy in his head coaching tenure, Greg Popovich, that could match wits with anybody. So, again, we'll never see it, but at the same time, I like our chances.
If Scottie Pippen didn't come back, and let's say that team centered around Jordan, Tony Kukoc, and Dennis Rodman, do you think that team with that trio still would have got to the finals in 99 without Pippen?
No, I don't know if they would have gotten to the finals because, you know, the Knicks were still, you know, competitive. Obviously, we beat them in the finals, Indiana. I think it would have been tough because they never won a championship without Scottie Pippen. So if Scottie's not there, then that gives an opportunity for teams to potentially knock off the Bulls, especially in a seven-game series.
How much longer do you think Greg Popovich is going to coach, by the way?
Wow. I talked to him on yesterday, and I don't want to take a chance and guess and get it wrong because, you know, in some ways, even though I've coached three teams, I'm 55 years old, you know, Coach Pop still, you know, thinks he can boss me around and tell me what to do. I got to remind him sometimes. But
that you're a grown man now.
I'm a grown man, with two kids and two kids that done really well in their life. One with a master's degree from Alabama, and one, my daughter, who's my oldest, works on Wall Street for BlackRock Investments. And so two pretty smart kids. But, you know, I don't want to put a number on it. I think that would probably spark some speculation. But I think as long as he's healthy and feel good and can get through the grind of an 82 season, I think he's going to continue to coach.
I got a minute left for Avery Johnson, and then we got to run. Could you see one day Tim Duncan taking over? I know he's an assistant on that staff. Could you see Tim Duncan being the head coach of the Spurs?
You know what? I don't really see that. I think Tim is in a situation where he wanted to come back. You know, Pop had lost an assistant or two, and it's just an opportunity for those guys to reunite. And I think, you know, I think Tim loved helping young players. But I don't necessarily see Tim as, you know, potentially taking over the Spurs. I think he likes the role that he's in. It doesn't demand as much attention as when you move over six inches to become a head coach and wear, you know, more hats and have more responsibility. So I think we'll have to wait and see. But I think I don't know if this was a long-term deal for Tim, but it was an opportunity for him to come and help Pop for a year or two and maybe figure out what's next.
Coach, stay safe. This was great. Really do appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.